Our study is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 tonight, heeding God's comprehensive guidance to be His godly servants. When we Christians understand that we are supposed to do the will of God, that's what Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says, many of us view this to be a difficult exercise because often we think that somehow God's will is something that we don't want to do or we don't like to do, and therefore it's difficult. And so we view it as sort of a challenge. But in reality, the degree of difficulty in doing God's will is based on the believer's relationship to God. Because if we are in right relationship with God, God makes it so that it's easy to want to do His will. If we're out of relationship with God, out of fellowship with God, then it's very difficult to do the will of God. We know that because the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, that the sinful nature struggles against the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit against the sinful nature, so that these are the opposite. I've often called a Christian the Incredible Hulk because he has two natures within him. He has a sin nature that still comes with him before his Christian days when he did not know Christ as his Savior. And then he also has God the Holy Spirit indwelling him once he comes to know Christ as a Savior. And so these are opposite one to the other. And the believer is responsible to rely upon God, the Holy Spirit, so as to live the Christian life. Well, the passage that we have in front of us tonight, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, presents the scene of the believer that Paul presumes is yielded to God, where he's in right relationship with the Lord so that the Holy Spirit is working through him. And it gives us encouragement to yield to God's Spirit and His equipping to us, that we might be His godly servants. So let me just read those verses and then we'll look at the passage in depth. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, we know that a Christian doesn't always want to do the will of God. In fact, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 that if we as Christians say that we haven't sinned, we lie and the truth isn't in us. So we do have problems even as Christians when we don't want to do the will of God or we don't do the will of God. And as I said in Galatians 5:17, the sin nature struggles against the new nature. And so we don't always do the will of God. But in the passage that Paul has in front of us, the Apostle Paul is assuming that these believers are depending upon God, and so God is motivating them and working in them so that they want to do what God wants them to do. Now, Paul's call that his readers work out their salvation, it was not a call for them to work to become saved. Many people in our world today believe that in order to go to heaven, a person has to live a good life, become a volunteer fireman, give to the church, join the church, get baptized, and so forth. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and 8 and 9 that salvation is a gift of God, that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. We could never afford to buy our way into heaven. It took the Son of God dying on the cross in our place, and His atonement on the cross for us pays the way. And what we need to do is to open up the gift that God has, the present that God has given to us, and that is Jesus Christ, and believe in Him by faith. Well, these believers did not need to work for their salvation because they had already believed in Christ. If we go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, Paul says, "For unto you it was given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." And we know from Ephesians 2:8-9 that salvation is a gift of God by faith. And it's not something that is gained by faith plus works. In fact, Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's a wonderful truth. A person gets to heaven by a gift. And he opens that gift when he puts his faith in Jesus Christ. So, what Paul meant in verse 12 of working out our salvation means to put into practice in their daily living what God had already worked in them by His Holy Spirit. So God wanted the Philippians to work out in their experience what He had already positionally produced in them when He justified them.
I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior in 1959. So that's 49 years ago. All right. That dates me. Yeah. I was just a kid at the time. But I was saved by faith. It wasn't work. My parents were missionaries in Nigeria, West Africa. And I finally woke up to the fact that just because mom and dad were missionaries didn't mean anything. God has no grandchildren, no one has children. So I needed to become a child of God and believe in Christ as my Savior. So I did. Made that commitment back in May of 1959. And so what God wants me to do since then is to work on the outside. That salvation that He wrought on the inside, He wants me to work it on the outside. And that showed in my life. Live for Jesus Christ. So, even in experientially working in the believer to produce upright acts, God is involved at every level when the believer relies upon the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul tells us in verse 13. The believer is to work out in his experience the positional salvation that God has wrought within him with the attitude of fear and trembling. The attitude that Paul expressed upon trembling at being confronted by the glorified Lord Jesus at his own conversion. We studied this morning in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. The Apostle Paul, before he was a Christian, was very opposed to the Christian faith. In fact, he persecuted Christians. And he was on his way to Damascus to capture Christians and to try to put them to death. When the Lord Jesus interrupted him, shone a bright light upon him, and he said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul was absolutely flabbergasted because he thought Jesus had been a cult leader. They had put him to death on a cross. And here he realized he's the risen Lord. And at that particular point, the Bible tells us that Paul fell down and he was trembling because he realized he was 180 degrees wrong in his theology. Jesus was God. And that was a shock to him. So he was amazingly converted and he became one of the lead apostles in the Christian faith. And of course, nearly half of the letters in the New Testament were written by the Apostle Paul. So there was a tremendous change that occurred in this man's life. But that's what Paul says. Work on the outside your salvation with fear and trembling. Now the reason for this sense of deep reverence for the Lord is that God is at work through the Holy Spirit, controlled believer, to make him actually want to do and also to energize him to do the very activities that God wants him to do. Now, when I was in Dallas Seminary, we studied Greek, we studied Hebrew, and the New Testament is written in the Greek language. So I did a little bit of a study in some of the works here. The Greek word for will, if you have the New International Version or King James or English Standard Version, it's the Greek word thelo, which means to desire or to wish or to will. The Greek word for do or act, as you have in your New International Version, or if you have an English Standard Version, it's work. It's the Greek word energeo, and it means to produce or to work. And the Greek word for God's good pleasure in the King James or the English Standard, or the good purpose if you have a New International Version, is the Greek word eudokia, which means good pleasure, wish, or desire. So the believer whose sin nature is effectively boycotted since he relies upon the Holy Spirit is led by God both to wish, to desire, and to will to work or produce what God himself wishes or desires in his good pleasure that he actually perform and achieve. Now this is an amazing statement. God is so actively involved in the life of a Christian who's right relationship with him that even the inclinations that he has, God's behind that. The last time you went to the store and you were trying to decide whether you were going to get this item or that item and you were walking by means of the Spirit, and let's say you chose one item over the other, you don't know that, but God was involved in that because it's going to fit within his work someday. That's a fascinating. If a believer is in right relationship with the Lord, the partner that he or she selects as a marriage partner in life, God's involved in that. God's involved even in working in the will and the wanting there. But, of course, the key is we have to be in right relationship with the Lord. So it's a wonderful partnership that we have with God if we walk with Him. So, in summary, the believer should realize that when he's controlled by God the Holy Spirit, all the tendencies and the inclinations he has, all the force impelling him to express those tendencies and desires are actually being directed by God himself. That is being so, the believer must function in a constant sense of awe or fear at the vast involvement of his Lord in his Christian walk and in his experience and his service to the Lord. It's a fascinating thing. For example,
God knows how to work in our hearts. He knows how to cause us to make us want to do certain things. He also knows how to work to implement that. In Fellowship Hall, after our service this morning, there were a series of events that occurred that demonstrated to me the Lord's working. I saw one of the tables needed to be wiped up. We have Fellowship Hall back there, and we have refreshments and, you know, after the service and so forth. And so I went to the towel rack and got the last paper towel that was on the rack, and I wet it, and I was getting ready to go, and all of a sudden, before I knew it, my wife was in front of me. She had the sponge, and she was working on it. So then I saw that we had the last towel. I thought, well, maybe I'm going to have to get some towels. Kathy Brunetti, before I could take a step in that direction, Kathy says, oh, I need to buy some more towels. So she went to buy some more towels. So I thought, well, the garbage can needed to be picked up, so I pulled the garbage out of the can. I was getting ready to tie it up. Mike came along and says, no, I need to do that. That's my job. So, bingo. So the next thing, all the tasks were done, so I walked out into the sanctuary here, and Dan and Judy McClarty, who are with us tonight, were walking in front of me, and Judy turned back and says, oh, Pastor, that was a good message. In fact, both of them were. She met both the Sunday school and then the morning worship service. And I got the point from the Lord at that particular point, Judy. The Lord didn't want me doing all these other jobs. My job is to minister the Word. But he worked through His people in ways that His people had no knowledge. Because every step that I wanted to do, He was already working in front of me. And so He gave me a big illustration for tonight's service. So, when we believers rely... Let me finish the lesson. Thus informed and thus spiritually equipped, Paul urged his Philippian Christian believers to serve the needs of one another as godly servants, letting God's work in them both want to do His will and then to do it. Make them serve each other's needs effectively. Remember, the whole book of Philippians is about becoming a good servant of the Lord, where we stoop to serve and meet the needs of other people, especially fellow Christians. And the way to do that is to rely upon the Lord, and then the Lord works in special ways to make us want to serve Him and then to carry it out and give us the energy and the strength to go ahead and carry out. So, the lesson is when we believers rely upon the Holy Spirit who indwells us, our very wishes and motivations to stoop to serve the needs of other people are so fully authored of the Lord that we are to live in awe of His involvement in it all. So may we stoop to serve the needs of one another with a sense of great awe at God's work in the whole process. For every desire and act involved when we're walking with the Lord is deeply driven by the Lord who lives within us. We had a wonderful illustration that occurred. I'm not going to go into detail. But the board and I have been working in this situation for several months now in regards to a somewhat confidential situation within the body here. And a decision needed to be made on the behalf of one of the members of our church. And if the member in the church decided to submit to the leadership of the board, everything was going to be nice and smooth. If the member decided not to submit to the Lord, it was going to cost us in the thousands of dollars. And apparently the Lord worked in this believer's heart this past week, and this person had a tremendous desire to submit to the leadership of the church board and called one of our church board members and said, you know, this is what the direction, this is where I want to go. And this morning, of course, it was announced to the rest of the board members, and we were just pleased. And we were stunned to see the way the Lord worked in this person's life. The person was ardent in desiring to work within the board and work with the leadership. This is rare. Often days, you know, people today, they kind of have their own mind. They want to do their own thing. But here's a person that, no, this, they wanted to do what God wanted. And it became a tremendous blessing to us. So I found the lesson here is very, very applicable. When we rely upon the Holy Spirit, even the want to, as the kids say, even the want to within us is something that is fostered by God. And so our will and God's will have a tendency to merge and mix, and it's a wonderful thing. So may we walk by means of the Holy Spirit so that He can work in us.